Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings in the name of the Lord and welcome to Warn Radio. This is Tower. I'm here with the Watchman and we are glad you joined us. Please send all your prayer requests and correspondence to us through our contact page at warn-usa.com. You can listen to our Warn Radio episodes on warn-usa and danaglensmith.com. Warn Radio is on the following platforms: Amazon Prime Music and Podcast, Spreaker, Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Deezer, Spotify, Anchor, and Pocket Cast. And do not miss the featured post this week of our in-depth biblical articles and radio shows. Featured on danaglensmith.com, Comforters of Job in Times of Trouble. America, Shadows of Misdirection. Witness of Jesus and the Word of God. American Choice, Blessings or Cursings. And featured on warn-usa.com, Watch Therefore, Gospel Extinction War, Blasphemy and Faith of Jesus. Comfort My People, Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 103. Prophetic End Time Shaking and Division. Discern Signs Amidst the Times. And don't miss these WIBR Warn Radio weekly shows on Wednesday's Advocacy, Shaking of Nations, Prophecy, Nigeria, Pakistan, Christian Persecution. Thursday's Battle Lines, Redeemed, Salvation, Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 210. And Friday's Sound the Shofar, The Word of the Lord Over All the Nations, Part 10. And be sure to get your copy of The Rising. It's a Christian fiction thriller by the Watchman Dana G. Smith, a story of personal survival, the struggle of a nation, and the love of two people set amid the prophetic landscape of perilous times. Hidden within the storyline of The Rising is the truth of what's happening in America now. Check out The Rising. He who opposes rises. Believers overcome by faith. And you can get your copy on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Ingram, Walmart, Angus & Robertson. And the Rising ebook can be found on Google Play. And you can also get your copy of The Rising by going to danaglensmith.com, where you can visit our Christian Books and Resource Shop, where we feature The Rising and other Christian books, as well as resources from our Vision Media. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglensmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Well, it's a little cold.
Yes.
This is March, and I'm trying to figure out if it's going out like a lion or going out like a lamb.
That's hard to say.
Well, it's supposed to go out like a lamb, but you know, this is pretty cold for lamb. Lambs are small, cute, fuzzy, and warm. You know, that ain't the way this thing is. It's cold, a lot of wind. We've had snow. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is more like a stinky old ewe.
Yeah.
You know, it's not at all cute and funny and warm and snuggly. But spring does bring in the little baby bunnies and the little chickens and everything else. And some of them are born in really rough spring weather.
Yes.
So at any rate, here we are again, another week. Things go by so fast. We are, you know, we're coming to an end of the first quarter of this year, 2024.
Yep, it's the 28th day of March.
And we hope wherever you're at, things are going well for you.
Yes, amen.
And look to the Lord. He can be there and help you. He can make a way for you. So, you ready?
Yes. Tonight is Loving Kindness, Isaiah's prophetic book, part 211 on battle lines. Loving Kindness is where we bring the prophecies, troubles, and issues of the children of Israel up to date with the prophet Isaiah. Nothing is hidden, especially the kindness and love Jehovah showed to Israel. Here we can name Moses, Joshua, Caleb, David, and many others who knew the Lord, were delivered from enemies, and all were fallible. Yet in their weaknesses were made strong and became victorious. We also find the house of Judah here as the troubles falling away and sinning against Jehovah always brought back to the forefront the sin of the house of Judah and the northern tribes. And now back to you. I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Well, indeed, we are here. Isaiah 63, 7 through 8. And we're going to be pretty close to the end of 63 if we can get through what we need to get through tonight. And then we'll have 64 and 65 and 66. Then we're going to wrap up Isaiah. And we've been doing this for years, and this is not a standard study of an exegesis. This is the way I do it, and we go through it. We've gone through this in small parts instead of long parts, and we've enjoyed it. And so Isaiah 63, 7 and 8. In Isaiah 63, 7, now see, 7 and 8 goes together, and Kyle and Delish, they actually put these together relating to the same flow of thought within these verses. And I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord, that word Lord is Jehovah, the covenant personal name of God, and the praises of the Lord, again, that's Jehovah, according to all that the Lord, that's Jehovah again. So we've got Jehovah mentioned. That's the personal name, the covenant name, that's the main name. And of course, when we're looking at Hebrew, there's no J's in Hebrew, so it'd be Jehovah. But the personal name of God and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has bestowed upon us, bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. Now, see, the prophet is really waxing strong here in the praise of Jehovah. And, you know, when I look at this, I also see that we're towards the end of Isaiah. And, you know, a lot of this is he's wrapping up his thoughts and what he has to say. And, of course, the one thing that you want to know is that with all the prophecies that Isaiah gave, or any of the prophets when you give them, you know, you want to assure the people that there is loving kindness. You know, not just kindness, but a loving kindness. A kindness that flows out of the heart of God, that even though you may not deserve it, He loves you and He's kind to you and helps you. When you're weak, that's what you need. And so, and the praises of the Lord according to all the Lord has bestowed on us. Those are, you know, this is almost like poetry. And you look at all the names. Whenever you see, you know, a word, especially like Lord, you know, Jehovah, and it's mentioned three times in one verse, you better pay attention to this portion of what Isaiah is saying. This has to do with the covenant of God and Israel. That's what this is about. And it's about God's loving kindness. You know, and both houses, you know, have been overrun with judgment. The northern tribes were scattered. Judah was finally brought back after 70 years. You know, and we're not focusing on all the terrible. We're looking at the loving kindness of the Lord towards Israel. And you know, a lot of people, you know, they hate, you know, this thing over in Israel, you know, has put it in the eye of the entire world. Now that shows you, whether you understand it or not, that Isaiah is speaking here. And when we talk about, when we talk about the source of redemption, when we talk about who came and died on the cross for our sins, when we talk about the Bible and who wrote the Bible and who gave us the Bible, and you know, we're talking about this came out of the heart of the Jewish nation, Judah. And it came through the Spirit of God. And it came from a lot of prophets. True prophets. And so, in Isaiah 56:7, I want to go through this because when he's praising God here in Isaiah 63:7, there's a style to this. And it's the style, if I can pronounce this right, of the Tefillah, which is intercession, supplication, and it implies a hymn or a prayer. And that's really what Isaiah is doing here. You know, in when you're dealing with the name of God, there is the word Shem, Hashem, and the Jews will use Hashem many times when they're writing and speaking of the Lord. They won't even speak His name because it's so holy. Unfortunately, as Christians, and we have been redeemed, you know, we don't seem to get into that. But we have to understand more and more of the holiness of God. And see, this is, you know, him just going through this, you know, I mean, I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord and all that the Lord has bestowed on us. And he's emphasizing here how great Jehovah is, how he has maintained, you know, his relationship with them, how he has had loving kindnesses for them, even though they fell and fell away and went into judgment. You know, this is like a psalm. This is a hymn. This is something that Isaiah especially wrote in here. Now, if you go to Isaiah 56:7, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful. Now, see, this is what I want you to pay attention to, this little phrase, in my house of prayer. And then it goes on, their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar, and for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. And so that house of prayer, you know, used twice in this verse, is referring to the temple. And that particular word, tefillah, is used in here. And that's why we say the expanded style. That's why Kyle and Delish relate that to the expanded style of the tefillah. Or, you know, it's a praise. It's a hymn. It's worshiping God. He's speaking it. So that sets the tone here. You know, this is not about God yelling and screaming. And, you know, a lot of people put God into a judgmental God and that hates everybody. Well, there is a judgment, and he will judge those who are wicked. And, you know, through Christ, you can be judged and found innocent through the blood of the Lamb. And so, I will make mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us. See, the Lord has bestowed these things on the house of Israel, both houses. Even though they fell away, God worked to bring them back. And that makes me think of America, about all the loving kindnesses and the praises and the blessings that the Lord has bestowed on this country, and how many churches we've had, and how many, you know, seminaries we've had, and how many missionaries we've had. I graduated from Bible school, and we knew what missionaries were. We had them around all the time. And see, people today don't appreciate the loving kindness of the Lord. Today we are so divided and woke, and we are bitter and hasty. We're judgmental. We're far from God. You know, that isn't good. And so if there's one thing I could admonish you today, and that's that you need to wake up and start appreciating what God has done. And that also means you need to repent. So I really like the beginning when we get into this 7, because this is when it starts, you know, when it begins. So he shows his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He has not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them, praise ye the Lord. And that's, you know, with the nations of men, they don't know him. And, you know, when you talk about Israel, you know, it's about how God showed them his statutes and his judgments, his laws, and also what they need to do. And so this is Psalm 147, 19 through 20. And then here is Psalm 107, 29 through 32, the goodness of the Lord. Now see, this is the tone, and I'm going through these to show you the tone of how Isaiah began verse 7. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. Yeah, I'm glad when the storm's over too. And so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Now see, when you're in the temple and you're doing that, you're praising the Lord. So this is about worship too. In Romans 2, 2 through 6, and says, verse 2, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And in Romans 2, by the time you get to Romans 3 through 7, we're talking about the confession of sins and sin. So, And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Now that's what we know as a hypocrite. Those who judge others, and you do what they do, but you judge them. And there is an example of this that's been in the news this week, because they were judging Trump when he went to trial. And the judge in Gorin would not, give him the value of what his place really was. He just didn't do it. And so a lot of them were, making fun of Trump because they felt he was not truthful with this. But John Stewart, he's on one of the shows, I don't know which one, he's a liberal. And so he was castigating Trump a lot. And come to find out, somebody leaked that he overpriced his own house by a lot. We're talking in a big range, it's more than $200,000. So that gives you an idea. And so it's really something, and the whole thing with Ngoren is that Ngoren did not price it enough, and he was totally off base with it. And so, you can't do anything in this country, without having, especially Trump can't, when you have everybody out after you. And so, so you're judging a guy for doing something. Say he sins and does something simple. Or maybe he cussed. Or maybe he did something you didn't like. And you do the same thing, but you jumped all over him. See, when you are judging other people and you're doing the same thing, we're all sinners, except for through Christ. And even in the church, we should be lifting each other up. We shouldn't be on the train of judgment. So, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and you do the same thing, now I added the word you, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Nobody escapes the judgment of God except through Christ. Or despisest thou the richness of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? And that's true. The goodness of God leads people to repentance. And a lot of people don't understand that. But if you get overseas and you find the number of Muslims and others that are coming to the Lord, you find out that they do. And we've done stories where even the enemies of Christ and of Christians have come to the Lord. And so God leads us and brings us in. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, in other words, if you're going to continue to be hard-hearted and you're not going to repent, but you're impenitent, in other words, your heart is hard and you're not going to repent, you stubbornly refuse. So you treasure up to yourself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So you turn around, I hate God. People have said that. I had an argument with God for 11 years. I didn't hate him, though, but I had an argument with him. Literally. And guess what? I eventually got over it. The Lord dealt with me. But I went through some things because of my attitude. And this was a long time ago. But I still remember it. And I'm going to tell you now, if you're mad at God, you better get over it before the day of judgment and get right with him through Christ. Because you're not going to like it. Because guess what? You may get mad, but the wrath of God is something that you're not even ready for. And then the last verse, who will render every man according to his deeds. And Numbers 14:18, I like this. And see, again, we're looking at this the way the Lord is. Not the way a lot of men think he is. Because, you know, if you look at some of the pagans, you go over into India, and you go over a lot of them that use idols. And one of the reasons that India has so many gods, in India, these people will leave offerings to these demons, so they'll leave them alone. That's why they do it. See, and if you're going to make a deal with the devil, you're never going to come out of that good. The bottom line of it is, the Lord is long-suffering, of great mercy, forgiving the iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty. He's not going to make excuses for your sins. You have to repent and turn from them. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children under the third and fourth generation. And that's a good to go thing there. That does happen, and that, you know, the sins of the father are passed down unto seven generations. Now this says the third and fourth, but we've always seen it as seven generations in that it can happen. And so you can see some grandkid or something later on suffering from the sin that his great granddad had or something. But through Christ, that chain can be broken. Make no mistake about it. When you're born again and, you know, God forgives you, that chain can be broken. And in 63:8 of Isaiah, for he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their savior. That word savior is Moshiach. And that's where we get Yeshua Mashiach. But so this word here is also Yeshua. It's Yeshua with an H on the end of it. And it means salvation is what it does. And see, he's going here, and he's going to lead you through a number of these things. And, you know, in the beginning, when they came to God through Moses, when Moses let them out, God delivered them under the waters. You know, that was their baptism in the sea. They come out of that. Pharaoh's army was drowned. And all the things that happened to him, they finally went to Sinai and got the good glimpse of the Lord, which scared him. And they told Moses, don't let him appear to us. Let him appear to you. He can tell you what he wants and you tell us. They were so frightened of him. And even Moses was standing, was really aback, you know, taken aback by the fierceness. This is when he was on the mount. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their savior. See, and the reason God delivered them is because that's, you know, they're my children. They're not going to lie. So he was their savior. But the problem happened was eventually they did turn from their word. And so, behold, God is my salvation. This is Isaiah 12:2. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. That word salvation is Yeshua with an H. Deliverance, aid, help, salvation. That's what that word means in there. And so this is literally what he became to them. He was their deliverance. He was their savior. He was their strength. And, you know, whether they were in the wilderness, whether they were still with Egypt, and there was the plagues that was coming, God took care of them all the way. In verse 4 it says, yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. Now, see, you can take that to the bank, because there is no Savior besides our Lord and our God. And he sent his only begotten Son, and that was the arm of the Lord that brought in salvation, was Yahshua. In Romans 11, 1 through 3, and I put this in here because there's so much anti-Semitism today, and people are not liking what Israel did. And this is as a result of Hamas. Everything is the result of Hamas. And, you know, when you begin a war, you know, you've bitten off something. And the other party has a right, by the right of the shedding of the blood. Because they drew first blood, you didn't do anything, you were innocent, so now you're protecting yourself. Which, in the law of the Lord, protecting your, you know, if someone comes up to kill you, and you're trying to protect yourself from getting murdered, and he dies, then you can go to the city of refuge and find forgiveness. And that's in the law. And so our refuge is Yahshua. But yet there is that thing, you know, they went after Israel, and Israel has every right to claim all the blood that they have spilled. They have a right. Verse 2, God has not cast away his people which he foreknew. Now I put that in there for the benefit of those who don't understand how this works. Know ye not what the scripture says of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. That's Elijah. And that is quite a story. I was talking with Tower about that one. And you see, when he got up to the cave where God was, you know, he did speak to the Lord there. The Lord asked him, Isaiah, Elijah, what are you doing here? And he says, they've killed all your prophets, and they've digged down your altars. You know, I'm the only one left. You know, he was afraid. And God said, I have 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. There was 7,000 that nobody knew about. God knew about them. And so that's who you need to make sure that you're serving God. And again, that comes up here when we're talking about, if he's your Savior, he's your Savior. And if he's going to help you, I mean, that's just the way it is. He'll help you. But if you turn from him, he isn't going to help you. And so that's why these things are so important in the Old Testament, because they don't disagree with the New Testament at all. For the New Testament fulfills them. In 1 John 4:14-15, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. Now see, that's the real issue. And so in the first thing when we started, we got up there talking about the worship of God and the loving kindness of God and how God took care of them. You know, he looked at them, you know, and he trusted them. He says, surely they do, you know, they don't lie. Surely they will serve me. And so that was the basis of the relationship. And I mean, you know, when they went to the mount and got everything, of course, there was a few things there that they have to learn. But see, God doesn't change. And so, we're at verse 9. He proves himself their Savior in heart and action. God shared their pain, healed them, and never forsook them. The only time that they separated from him was when Judah continued to fall away from the Lord. And in spite of the warning by Jeremiah, and there was other prophets there at the time, they didn't turn from their sins. And we will get into that, but see, he proves himself. Loving kindnesses in the previous verse, you know, this is a relationship in heart and action. He shared their pain, healed them, and never forsook them. That's what Isaiah is saying when he refers and looks back to what had happened. In their affliction, he was afflicted. And in other words, he shared it with them. He knew that. The angel of his presence saved them. And I like that word, the angel of his presence saved them. Because there is an angel of God's presence, and I think that angel is with every Christian. And I think there's angels around even the sinners that if they call out, I mean, I think God a lot of times, I remember when I was a kid and the things I did, you know, I managed to get through it without killing myself. You know, there's times that, you know, you don't understand how much God's grace and he has an angel watching over you, how you really don't, you know, you don't get in the trouble that, you know, you could wound up dead. I mean, how many times have we seen people escaping stuff? But see, the problem we have today is so much wickedness. We have innocent kids getting killed. We have people, you know, there's rape and every kind of evil going on. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. Why? Because he loved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He buried them and carried them all the days of old. That's Isaiah. I mean, he is working to redeem them. If he is looking for an excuse just to destroy them, that's easy. He's God anyway. He knew it wasn't going to be easy for him, but he was there to help him. And so even in America today, with all the troubles we have today, if America was to truly repent and keeps repenting, God can indeed turn this whole country back around. So, but make no mistake, this is no game. And we have a lot of people in this country that are just lost, they're misguided, they're filled with unclean spirits, and we have enemies everywhere. And they want to cross our borders, they want to take over our country, they want to live in our houses, they don't care what happens to the people that are here, they don't care if Americans are fair or not, they want to come in and take. And that's what Joe Biden has done by keeping the borders open. If you think these people are just coming over here just for the fun of it, you're crazy. These people are coming over there, and they're mostly young, fighting-age men. They've come over here to take if they have to, because they're young. So make no mistake about it. This thing is not over. Now, you see, in Psalm 78, 35 through 49, or 39, again, we look at who Jehovah is, who Yahweh is. Psalm 78, 35 through 39. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time he turned his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and comes not again. You know, the wind here in Wyoming, it's real strong. But even the strong winds go away. You know, if God would have just destroyed everybody in the beginning, we wouldn't have had to worry about all this. There wouldn't have been no salvation. You know, you can just appear before God and get thrown in hell. But see, God didn't want that. And that's the big issue. He's full of compassion. I mean, even though Israel, he looked at Israel and said that they will surely obey my word, Israel had trouble. Both houses had trouble. They were both taken into captivity. They weren't where they needed to be. So as a Christian, if you find yourself having trouble, you know, and you do something you shouldn't, you get back to God, you seek him, say, you know, ask him to forgive you. You know, 1 John 1, you just look in that first chapter. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, the Son of God, will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I mean, that's the way it was. And God, you know, I mean, he went to all the work. You know, he's the one that promised Abraham. You know, Moses even talked about that when God was going to destroy him and make a nation out of Moses. And Moses said, well, what would it look like? You know, you bring him out here in the desert and then kill him, they're going to say, look, that God brought him out there just to destroy him. You know, there was not a prophet like Moses who stood up to the Lord God for Israel. I mean, he dealt with him face to face. That's what Scripture talks about. In Hebrews 4:14 through 16, seeing then that we have a great high priest, this is about Yahshua, Jesus, that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Now you see, the thing of it is, we have a high priest today because God the Father wanted his Son to become a high priest and deliver them. He knew he had loving kindnesses. Christ had loving kindnesses. But one thing about Christ, you know, in Revelation chapter 1, he's known as the Almighty. So he is Almighty. But he's also touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And remember, when he was on that cross and he died, gave up the ghost, the temple, the curtain in the temple, big heavy curtain that separates the Holy of Holies from the rest of it, and the priest could only go in there once a year on the Day of Atonement. And once a year, that's it. But see, because of that curtain being torn, we can come unto the throne of grace whenever we need mercy and grace to find help. Now, you may not think that's much, but if you're not praying about everything, including safety for your family, then you're not paying attention. Christ has given us the power. Principalities and powers in the name of Christ. Healings and miraculous things. He said, greater things than these, which he did, will you do because I go to my Father. Now, in Acts 30 through 32, and when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. Now, see, when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. As he drew near it, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. You know, he's scared to death, you know, because the bush wasn't being consumed. And so when we talk about the angel of his presence, or the angel of the Lord, this part is real. You know, you're really, you know, you're not by yourself. You know, even if you're driving a car and you're only one there, you're not by yourself. And if you will praise him and think on him and listen to the word, you can fill that car with the presence of the Lord. But see, what we do is put on rock or something else and fill it with unbelief and godlessness. Now in Revelation 1:5-8, this is what it says. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now see, all over the New Testament you can see the testimony of those who wrote it, who is telling the world, shouting at the world, who the Messiah is. But you're coming into a time that there's going to be another one coming. And he will appear as an angel of light. And you'd better be careful and not be deceived. Christ is coming again, but he's coming in the clouds. Make no mistake about it. Many will be deceived. So, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. You know, and all these things, when we began, we were talking about that worship that Isaiah was putting in that verse, mentioning Jehovah three times. Because that's the focus. And Jehovah is our Father. And when he was in the mount, when Yahshua was, And I don't mean Sinai. You know, there's many times that he'd go up to the mount by himself and pray and seek God. And one time when he came down, he was walking on stormy water. My first thought is, how can you stand up if you're walking on stormy water? But see, the thing of it is that if I was on a boat, I couldn't even stand up in a boat with stormy waves. But he appeared and he came into the boat. It scared him. He said, "Don't be afraid, it is I." And so Isaiah is going through all this, and verse 10, this is what he says. Now remember, we started where he says they're going to, you know, they will follow my word. You know, God believed that they would be good. And Isaiah is going through this to tell you what happened. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. And they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he is turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Now, that's exactly what happens when you don't obey God and you go against him. And that's even in America right now. You want to have God fight against you in America? He will. If the churches vex his spirit, continue to. Because God's spirit can be vexed. We can resist the spirit as well. Now see, in Colossians 1, 12 through 15, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's where we're at right now. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. That is the kingdom of his dear Son, Yahshua, who died on the cross for us. But you see, in Isaiah, when we talk about Israel, they rebelled. And they vexed his Holy Spirit. That's not listening. That's, you know, not paying attention. Just rejecting him. Vexing. That's not good. When someone vexes me, my whole soul and spirit causes trouble. But I don't get vexed because I rebuke the spirit that's doing it in Jesus' name. If there's anything that comes at me, I'm rebuking it in Jesus' name. I can tell you right now that there's spiritual warfare. And there's times that you can be in a real spiritual warfare and there's nobody even around except you and the spirit you're trying to get rid of. And you can. And so they rebelled. They wouldn't listen. And so they vexed his Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, it tells you, 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So when we talk about vexed and gray and grieved, they're related here. So this one, to distress, to be sad, you cause grief, be in heaviness, sorrowful, or sorry. You're in distress. Think of the opposite of happiness. You're not doing good. And see, God was grieved over Israel because he thought that they would. And here you will say, well, God knows everything. Yes, he does. But he gives man the course to walk their path. And so when he sees them going down that path, he wants them saved. He wants them redeemed. He don't want them going through that. So he gets grieved. There's other verses that talk about God when the children of Israel were passing their children through fire. And he says, that thought never came into my, you know, into my being. I never even thought about that. You know, he's God. And Stephen, speaking to the Jews, he was the first martyr. And he's trying to tell them everything. And then in verse 51, he's coming, you know, this will tell you his attitude. You stiff-necked and circumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, and so do ye. And he says, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? They have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, which is Jesus, Yahshua, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers. See, because, you know, you talk about people saying that the Jews killed Jesus. This is what Stephen is saying. They couldn't wait to get him on that cross to kill him. But see, he had to go. But still, the truth is, they were stiff-necked and uncircumcised. Now, see, that's the people of God. And so this is what Isaiah is lining out here. And I think that's one thing we have to understand. In Isaiah 63:11-14, the people of God here, Israel, remembers the old days with Moses and the glory of God and the deliverances and provisions, and God was with them. Now see, this is where they need to be. They get to a point, and Israel does. They get to a point where they're tired of the judgment. They want to return to God. They remembered the time when Moses spoke face to face with God. They remembered when David was a mighty warrior and conquered all the armies that came against him. They remembered the time when Israel, you know, had one of the greatest nations on earth under Solomon. They remembered these things. And that's what America needs to remember. They need to remember what God done to this country. What he's blessed this country with. You as an individual, you need to remember the times when the Lord delivered you, when the Lord healed you, when the Lord had mercy on you. Stop sticking your head in the mud. Stop sticking your head in all the unclean garbage and the fodder that's coming out of social media and everything else. Reject that. Turn to the Lord. Rebuke the thoughts and ask the Lord to cleanse my heart, my mind, my soul, and my spirit in Jesus' name. Play the Word of God every day, all day long. Listen to the book of John. Put on a headphone. Listen to it every morning and do that as long as you can do it. You need to cleanse it with the washing of the water of the Word. Yes, the blood of the Lamb cleanses you, but you've got a mind that is not redeemed. It's still the original one and the... and it has to be cleaned. The washing of the water by the word will begin in Isaiah 63:11-14. Father, thank you for this word. We ask, Lord, that you'd bless this word to those that hear it whenever they hear it. Bless them, watch over them, and keep them. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, receiving of this word in Jesus' name. Okay, Tower.
Okay. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad for this word tonight. It's encouraging. It's helpful. Thank God for his presence and his angels watching over us. So we love you, everybody. I hope you've been blessed by this series of Isaiah. Look to the Lord in all your doings, and thank you for all you do for him. We love you and always hope the best for you in Christ Jesus. Pray for your brethren around the world. Pray for us as we pray for you. And we thank you. Good night, everybody.
Don't forget to go to our websites. Listen to the shows and read the articles. Go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Until next time, be safe. Look to the Lord. Shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.